Psalm 148, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and all you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded that they were, and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all depths of fire and hail and snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for you, for all his saints. For all the people, for the people of Israel who are near to him, and all God's people said, praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Man, what a good psalm, right? All right. So like I said, I'm trying to try to be quick. Every time I say that, I end up going long. So I'm just apologize now. But it is hot, so we're going to kind of roll through this. All right. So first of all, think about this. Hallelujah means praise. So halle means praise, lu or hallelu means praise the or praise whatever subject is coming after that. And then Yah is short for Yahweh or so the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. When you see capital L-O-R-D in your Bible, that means the name of God. I am that I am, which is the Lord. So praise the Lord, we get the name hallelujah. So when you hear the name hallelujah, if you're not familiar with church, that's what that means. It means praise the Lord. So what does it mean to praise? Now, I think that sometimes we just relegate praise to singing. So, we just sang, four songs, right? And so there's three songs. So there's a praise to that, right? That's what we do. We sing, and when we sing, we praise. And there's different forms of praise. This church has definitely got its Baptist roots, so we're a little more calm when we sing. We're a little more, it's like we do the half hands right here. We're not quite there yet. This is a little too charismatic for us. So what about here? Anyone? So we have this kind of calmness about us, but that's not all there is with praise. Some people lift up their hands. Some people clap. That's the one thing that was very familiar with this big church that I preached at last week. When they started clapping, they were in for about 20, 30 seconds, and that's about all you guys are in for. So once you start, so just to be clear, clapping is biblical. You guys know this? It is. Clap your hands. Praise the Lord. It's part of it. So when the band starts to clap, you guys have permission to just keep going to the end of the song. I know it's a lot to ask for Baptists. It's true. But there's something about, you go to a more charismatic church, you can't get them to stop clapping. So let's go somewhere in the middle and just continue to clap. So there's clapping, there's raising your hand. So oftentimes this is surrender to the Lord. This is receiving from the Lord. Clapping is a celebration. Some people kind of dance and kind of get the thing going. I tend to have this little thing with my hand kind of right over here. I'll be kind of keeping the beat. These are all praising the Lord in song and in rhythm. It's an expression of our joy and our salvation in Jesus. It's praise. Ultimately, the word means to shine out towards. So then it begins to ask the question, what does it mean to praise outside of song? Can we praise the Lord with the way that we work? Can we praise the Lord with our words and our actions and our deeds? We do always have to say praise the Lord to praise the Lord. No, we don't. Now, it's important when we come to the gospel message, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but there is an expression, you guys have heard me talk about this before, that with the things that we do with our hands, we can do to the glory of God in what, church? Our joy. To the glory of God and our joy. I used to set tile work for those of you that don't know, that was my trade for a long time, and there's just not a lot of life change in a 4-inch by 4-inch tile on a shower wall, right? Like, it's not going to change anybody. For me, though, it was like setting tile in Jesus' bathroom in heaven to the glory of God and my joy. And that's what brought about this excellence to my desire to want to do things to his glory. And we can do that in all different areas of life, in our marriage, in our relationships, with our kids and with our church, like all the way around in the way that we communicate with each other, the way that we express ourselves with our hands, the way that we lead people. If you manage or run a company, do you have the ability to have the character in which can praise the Lord without even having to say the name, without even having to say praise the Lord, right? We can do these things to the glory of God and our joy. And that's my hope this morning, is that kind of wherever we are at, we will consider and change our perspective, and that all of life is about praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Verses 1 through 6 talk about praising the Lord in the heavens. So you have a heavenly host as well as the sun and the moon and the shining stars. And so basically what it's saying is look up. And so my first point is this, to look up and praise the Lord. To look up and praise the Lord. Psalm 19 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And in them he has set a tent for the sun," Psalm 19, 1 through 4. Now, what did we just read, church? We just read that when we look at the stars, when we look at the moon, when we just look up, there's a proclamation. Have you ever asked yourself, I don't know if God is speaking to me? Anyone? That says that all we have to do is look up and we can hear from God. That the very stars themselves, how many of you guys saw the eclipse? If you're here in Reno, you might have saw like a small, I said Reno. If you're here in Santa Barbara, old habits, I was just there, guys, come on. I saw a small little glimpse through the fog of the eclipse. Anybody else? Right? So, and like it felt like the entire world was looking up at this great majestic thing that happened in our sky. And it was like, when you see that, we as Christians have this truth from the Psalms that we can look up whenever we want and hear the voice of the Lord and just wonder at his majesty and his greatness. Have you ever seen a picture of our universe that just spans out as far as possible and just been taken aback? Just feel how small you are in the light of our entire universe? And wondered those questions, are we alone? Where's God in all this? Is he in another dimension or is he outside of heaven? Like where, how does all this work? This is what they're for. It's for the wonder and amazement for us to go, praise the Lord, to look up and go, man, wow. See a shooting star randomly? I mean, how cool is that? I guess I'm the only one. I see a few smiles. I feel like I'm losing the rest of you. Anyway, the point is that there is a wonderment and amazement to the heavenlies, that the angels and the seraphim and the cherubim, they all speak to each other back and forth, the glory of the Lord, and the sun and the moon, as it chases, the sun comes through and it just feels like it's chasing its tail and back in every single day and every single day. There is a wonderment and amazement that the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky proclaims his handiwork. I would highly recommend that when you're in that Psalm 42 moment, when you're having those doubts, those fears, those frustrations, all those things that we kind of wrestle with God, just pause for a minute and go outside and stare at the stars. Just let your questions stop for a minute. Because God's speaking even in that. And sometimes the wonderment and the amazement of just looking at his creation is enough for us. We can just go, We look up and we praise the Lord, and we look out and praise the Lord. So verses 7 through 10 talk about creation itself. So look at verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all depths. And then verse 9, mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, beasts and all livestock and creeping things and flying birds. Talks about how even creation itself, the earth that we walk on, the kind of the dust that we roll around in, praises the Lord. That there's something in us, around us, that it has this like upward moment. If we just kind of look around, we see this. Romans 8 would speak to this. Look at Romans 8 up on the screen. For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, speaking of sin, and hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You know what that just said? That just said that the trees and the grass that are outside right now want Jesus to come back. Isn't that crazy? That all creation around us, when we look into the sea and the sea creatures and we're on the beach and we see a pod of dolphins go by or a seal staring back at us because this is where we live. Like we see these things, there is a longing for a redemption of this world. Now I'm going to say something and it is super goofy, little vulnerable moment. I just remember I was young, okay? So I was meditating on this verse. Now, I might make you a little envious, but I used to live in Maui. That's where I got saved. Jesus took a hold of my heart there. And my routine was, once I got in this, you know, got saved and baptized and committed myself to Jesus, I was working at this little health food store, which was cool. But I'd get up at sunrise, and I'd go for a run, go for a swim. I used to do this thing where I'd baptize myself. I'd do a Lipton iced tea into the back of the water and say, "Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Like, I don't know, I was young. So it was just a reminder of my original baptism. I wasn't re-baptizing myself, for those of you that are theologically stout and going, heresy. Okay, so I was on a run, and there was a section where it would go from the beach up to the grass. There was like this little hotel right here, and then it would jump down to the beach. And I was meditating on Romans 8, and right as I kind of came up to the grass, I thought about how creation itself eagerly was longing for the revealing of the sons of God. In other words, creation itself is yearning for us to preach the gospel, for us to go to the ends of the world and tell and share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that Jesus can come back. And I kid you not, church, this is not a lie. I was running on the grass, and I felt like the grass was like, "Preach the gospel." See, I told you this. Like, keep doing what you're doing. And all of a sudden, it was like Chariots of Fire. Da-na-na-na-na-na. It was like this glorious moment where I was running through this grass, feeling not like at one with nature in this weird kind of New Age thing, but feeling this verse that all of creation is going, "Preach! Preach the gospel! Relieve us from this bondage of sin and this death and destruction that goes on all around us. It's not supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be like the garden where the lion lies with the lamb and there's perfect harmony and shalom. That's how it's supposed to be, and there's no spiders." Amen. All of creation is saying this. Church, let's join in. Let's join in and long for the redemption of Jesus Christ and look around and praise the Lord. And praise the Lord. Man, there's no, grass is not saved. The grass outside, that's not, trees are not saved, right? But they long for the second coming of Christ. We have salvation. Should we not long for the same thing more than a tree? Should we not long to be set free from these sinful bodies where we get cancer and disease? Should we not long for just death after death? We have a ton of it in our community right now, both cancer and death. There's things going on around us, and it's not for us to just stay in this depressive state, but just to go, "Man, I can't wait for Jesus to come back." Amen. So we look up and praise the Lord, and we look out into the ocean and the sea and creation, and we praise the Lord. Point three, we look around and we praise the Lord. Speaking of people, verse 11, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the heaven and earth. We look around and we see that people also yearn for a day in which there is no more disease and sorrow. People yearn, even if they're not saved, they yearn for redemption. You see, we are created in the image of God and in his likeness. It's called the Imago Dei, which is the Latin term for in the image of God. And there's something in all human beings that yearn for redemption. Otherwise, we wouldn't search. There'd be no searching for truth because there'd be no truth if God doesn't exist. We just wouldn't have that yearning, but we do. We have this yearning inside of us that just says, I want to be redeemed. And we look for redemption in different ways, in different places. But as Christians, we know Jesus is the way. That he's the way, the truth, and the life. That we have been redeemed. But we can look around and see it. So here, let me give you an example of what I mean. Well, first of all, Romans 8, the continuation of the creation verse that I just read, says, not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. And so not just creation, but we ourselves yearn. We yearn for redemption, and we can see it all around us. I was running on that same beach. So this is going to sound kind of weird, but I'm just going to go for it. I was young. I was in my early 20s when all this was going on, and it was during the day this time, and it was a busy season. It was probably, you know, some sort of holiday, and a bunch of people were on the beach, and as I was running down the beach, I looked over and I saw these hot girls, which is a common thing in Maui on the beach. So as a young man, I noticed. I looked away, just so you know, in case you were wondering. But I just thought to myself, beautiful, like they were beautiful. I was single, so I could think that's cool. No lust thoughts. I could see you guys judging me right now. Take it easy. So I was running along, and I saw them, and I thought, beautiful. And then I look over, and I see this rather large man, overweight. And when I first noticed him, I noticed, like, this, like, whoa, dude, put a shirt on. Now you can judge me. I shouldn't have thought that. Like, because, but here's what I saw as I was running. He was playing with his kids. He was a dad, and he had his shirt off. And he had an unabandoned joy rolling around in the water with his kids. It was awesome. And as I ran by, and I noticed these hot girls, and then I ran by and I saw this guy, and my instant thought was, whoa. And then I thought, wow. And what I saw in him was a glimpse of redemption. What I saw in him made me want to praise the Lord. I don't know why. I just saw it, and there was so much joy. I don't know if he's saved or not. I have no clue. But I know that when I saw him, I thought to myself, man, that is, praise God for that man loving his kids like that. That is so cool. And then from there, I run by, and I see this dead tree not far after that whole little experience. And I thought to myself, humans are the only people that can be dead inside and look beautiful and look what we would judge as repulsive outside but have so much joy inwardly. It just changed my whole perspective on the way that you look at people. Listen, no matter what color, race, there's a whole lot of stuff going on with race. There's a ton of stuff going on with politics, with Democrats and Republicans and all this stuff. If we could just get over ourselves, look past all that stuff, and go look for the image of God in that person, that there's human dignity all around us, then we'd be able to look around and praise the Lord. To praise the Lord. I mean, let's not forget what heaven's going to be like, right? Think we're going to be singing in English? Think they're gonna, Republicans will be on one side and Democrats on the other? Because they can't get along. I see some guys need to repent. Let's live into the kingdom, saints. There's a human dignity all around us. And if we just simply stop and look around, we can praise the Lord. It causes us that we ourselves yearn. And then just like that grass motivated me to preach the gospel, the grass on the ground, I feel like with the new laws that are passed, I have to make that distinction. Okay, you guys know what I'm talking about. It motivates us to want to preach the gospel, to praise the Lord. My last point, if you look at verse 14. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise you all his saints. For the people of Israel who are near him, praise the Lord. My point four is look to Jesus and praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, was filled with the Holy Spirit as his tongue was loosed, and he prophesied this. In Luke 1, verse 67 says, "Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And what he was prophesying of was Jesus. Because in later in that prophecy, he says that my son will be the one that prepares the way for this guy. And so this, all the way back in Psalm, is a type and shadow. And the horn here is not a horn like a proclamation that you blow in, but like a horn, like a bull's horn, a horn of strength. That he is a horn of strength for us that will save us. That he is our strength for salvation. And so ultimately, we look to Jesus Christ. Church, we have a man that came 2,000 years ago to live the life we couldn't perfectly and fulfilled the law in every aspect so we no longer have to. He went to the cross and literally absorbed all the wrath of God that we have worked up against our Father in heaven, and he put that wrath on Jesus. Because he's eternal, he was able to absorb the whole thing. And then the third day, he raises again, and because he has life, he now imparts that life to you. Saints, praise the Lord. This is really good news. Really good news. The fact that Jesus Christ has set you free. Like when the Son sets you're free indeed. I can't press this enough, church. Like we should be some of the happiest people around, not fake, but knowing that we can wrestle with God and still be loved by him. I mean, to think about this. You are loved by God right now. Just receive that in Jesus' name. For those of you that have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, you are loved by God. This should draw us to tears. This kind of truth should be the thing that we just can't hold in anymore. And we look up and we praise the Lord. We look out and we praise the Lord. We look around, we praise the Lord, and we look to Jesus and we praise the Lord. Amen.